They asked me to give two talks today, so I've taken on a talk that, what is the truth for 2021? What is the truth for today for 2021? Okay, you want to get that? Okay. Paul wrote that there were two things that God desired for all humans. Go ahead. No, I want you to notice here the order. Now, in Scripture, there's a lot of times, throughout the whole Bible, you've got to look at the sequence of the order that it was written down, because that has usually a lot of meaning behind it. But this one here is the order God was desired for all humans, the order that Paul presents them. The order is very important. Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Notice that comes in first, and to come to the knowledge, the second, to the truth. The first thing that God wills or desires for all humans is to be saved. And once a person is saved, then they are alive in their relationship with God. Second thing God wills or desires is for those who are saved ones, is that God wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think you could say that Paul is pleading with believers, do not be ignorant of the truth. Now, this is something you need to be aware of. Most of you are, but there's maybe one or two that's not. The word knowledge in 2 Timothy 2:4 means to have an exact knowledge or a thorough knowledge, or a full knowledge, or to have a greater participation by the knower to the point of influencing him. Came across one word or one of the truth. I think you could honestly say that Paul is pleading with believers, do not be ignorant of the truth. For the body of Christ, where Jesus Christ is the head. It's impossible for you to get the right understanding of God's program and purpose for today without knowing all the truth relating to it. I want you to notice that it was not, when Paul was talking about this, I want you to notice that it was not philosophy that Paul wanted them to know. Instead, it was a precise or further knowledge to be thoroughly acquainted with, or a true knowledge of Christ. God wants you, the believer, to perfectly know the truth. Paul uses it to describe the kind of knowledge, the truth, that if the truth, according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, which God gave to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now that verse read, Ephesians 1, 22 says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If this truth wasn't that important, then God wouldn't have given it. But God has given it. It's very important that all believers are to perfectly know the truth. And all believers are to perfectly understand the truth. So what is this knowledge of the truth? Five times in Paul's last epistles, Paul writes about the particular knowledge of the truth. There is a lot of truth in Scripture, but you need to rightly divide all the Scripture that Paul's talking about to get the truth in Scripture. There are those who cannot tell the truth. There are some who are not even willing to listen to the truth. Boy, I've met a bunch of them. Because they do not want to give up their rituals and their traditions. Paul was not only interested in just seeing that men were saved. Paul was interested in encouraging those that were saved to mature into a perfect knowledge of the mystery, the distinct truth regarding Christ and his church, where Christ is the head. When you know God's truth about the truth, it takes the Bible to a whole new level. Especially when it comes to the truth about Scripture that may have been carried over from a former dispensation. New truths are not always conflicting to the old truths, but they are often their completion. Now, Christ's second coming has been postponed or set back in favor of the message of the dispensation of the mystery or the times of the Gentiles. Truth for today is a message for the body of Christ, where Christ is the head. It consists of what God's special messenger had to say to the Gentiles. Listen, here we go again. After Israel was set aside at the end of this. We need to always remember that the written word and the living word of Christ are all woven together, and they cannot be separated. The Scriptures do not reveal a creed. Instead, the Scriptures reveal a person. I think you might agree with me that there was a definite change at the end of the book of Acts. The affairs of the world changed. There's a definite difference between the church of God, which was what the main church was during the Acts period, and the church, which is the body where Christ is the head during this period. The fact is, after, here we go, another one of them words, after the end of the book of Acts, there was a dispensation of grace where salvation was absolutely a gift from God. It was free from all the works of the law. It was free from not some of the ordinances, but all of the ordinances. Let's draw a picture of what was going on in the world from the beginning. Because there was basically three main sections of time covered by history in the Bible that are called dispensations. The first section, our first dispensation, is covered by the first 11 chapters of Genesis, where God is dealing with the nations. In Romans 1, it gives us the reasons why they were given up. They did not glorify God. They were not thankful. They were literally into satisfying of their own flesh. Second section, or second dispensation of time, covers from Genesis 11 to the end of Acts. Now, out of the 66 books in the Bible, approximately 88% of the books deal with Israel of the Bible. Then God called out a man named Abraham from one of these nations of Israel, who was to be the beginning of the spatial nation of Israel, people of nation. The third section, or third dispensation of time, covers the last seven epistles that Paul wrote. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. These last seven epistles that Paul wrote deal with a new revelation in which we find the Israel has been, we find out that they have set aside, I like to say they've been put in a time out chair, but as a chosen people, and that God, in grace, deals with the nations, the new man, the Gentiles, including Israel, on an equal footing. Remember this point. The Gentiles before the third section or third dispensation of time I'm referring to were Gentiles were without Jesus Christ. Got to keep this in mind when you look at this whole thing. Gentiles were without Jesus Christ. The Gentiles were just aliens. They were complete strangers to the covenants of promise. Now, I'm going to point out to you several different facts about these Gentile believers and what the Gentile believers had before the end of Acts period and what the Gentiles had after the Acts period was over. This fact number one. Before the end of Acts, the Gentile believers were in a second-rate position compared to the Jews because the Gentiles were placed in a position to receive blessings, and they could only receive them by being grafted into the tree, olive tree as a wild branch. God's decision to give the Gentiles faith to believe the gospel was not because the Gentiles were better than the Jews. In fact, the Gentiles were far worse than the Jews. God's decision was based on love prompted by mercy, and it was primarily designed to irritate the Jew. The Gentile position changed because the Gentiles who accepted Paul's post-prison message learned that the church, which is the body of Christ, where Christ is the head. After the end of Acts, now the Jew and the Gentile are equal because of the one new man in Ephesians 2:15. Fact number two. Here we go again. Before the end of Acts, blessings during that time period could only come through the promises that were given to Abraham. Now, the biggest difference between a Jew and a Gentile was not so much race as it was the promises of Abraham. The Gentile believers' blessings came only by becoming the children of faithful Abraham through faith. Here we go again. After the end of Acts, the Gentile believers who accepted, now I'm going to use this word accepted a lot in here, but they accepted Paul's words on the post-prison message. They accepted them. Paul's, and they learned that when Israel was set aside at the end of Acts, this is when they learned that. And there would be no more blessings that could come through Israel. or through Abraham. The Gentile believers would have no part with Abraham. Another point, Abraham is not even mentioned in Paul's writings after the end of Acts, because Israel is to have an earthly hope, not a heavenly hope. Israel was expected to spend their future life on the earth. Even the New Jerusalem is mentioned, which comes down from the new heaven to the new earth. In the dispensation of the mystery, all members are blessed in Christ. These particular blessings are not on the earth, but these blessings are in the heavenlies, far above all, in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, not some or partial, all spiritual blessings." Where? In heavenly places, in Christ. In Ephesians 1:3, we are immediately reminded that our blessings are all spiritual. These are not earthly, material blessings, as was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These are not blessings in the flesh, such as the gifts of the Church of God in the book of Acts. These spiritual blessings are located not on the earth. These blessings are located in the heavenlies, far above all, in Christ. Not only some of the blessings, but all the blessings that are spiritual. But keep this in mind, nothing will be held back. And that's a real promise. Our Lord is heir to all things. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Him. So now, all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Keep in mind, this is something you got to keep in mind, that not one person in the Old Testament, when they were living, nor just before they died, or just after they died, expected to go to the heavenlies or heavenly places when they died. Right now, as we talk, Israel is set aside. And like I said, I like to refer to this in the timeout chair, but God is going to get back with them later. Now, my question to you today, after all this information I shared with you, I'm going to ask you, are you blessed in Abraham, or are you blessed in Christ? Next question. Is your inheritance in the land or on the earth, or is your inheritance in the heavenlies? Here we go. Before the end of Acts, the Gentile believers were required to have two baptisms. One by water to identify them with repentant Israel. One by spirit to include the Gentiles in the Church of God. That was Genesis 11 to the end of Acts. After the end of Acts, the Gentile believers accepted Paul's post-prison message, learned that there is only one baptism. You want to hit the next slide there. And that, in Ephesians 4:4-6, this here is where the seven ones are. There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Of the seven ones that are mentioned here in Ephesians 4:4-6, the one Lord is the central item. In these three verses, he is the mediator between the first item, the one body, and the one God and Father. In this unity is one Spirit. It is linked in the structure of the one baptism. That literally means that the one baptism is not a water baptism, but it is a Spirit baptism. It is your identification with the death, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension of the Lord. There is reality. This is a reality that it has no need of any type of shadows, such as water baptism. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear or be manifested, then you shall also appear or be manifested with him in glory. Now, this is a very important truth for you to remember for today, that most people will look. This is linked with faith. Hope can only be realized by faith. F-A-I-T-H. If you do not know about it or do not receive it on the basis of faith, then it is impossible for you to enter into it. In fact, your position in the one body must be received by the one faith. Just having salvation. Now listen to this one too. This is very important. Just having salvation, and I'm sure you know a lot of people that have got it and they're done, or the possession of eternal life, does not give someone a position. Your position is a further step which can only be taken by the one faith. This hope belongs to this position. Okay, let's go to fact number 4. Here we go with the word before the end of Acts. The Gentile believers could not have any part or take any part in the church of God that took place from Genesis 11 to the end of Acts. Remember back before the end of Acts, the Gentiles could not serve as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Well, why? Just because the Church of God was concerned only with the Jews. The Gentile believers who accepted Paul's post-prison message will learn in Ephesians 4:8-11 that after the end of Acts, Christ chose prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers from both Jews and Gentiles as gift to the church, which is his body. Fact number 5. Again, we go with the word before the end of Acts. The Gentile believers were to be kept separate from the Jews by a middle wall of partition, which was at that time, it was mainly ordinances. The Gentile was referred to as a grafted in wild olive branch. The Gentile believers received his blessings and position from the root of the olive tree, which was the Jew. It was a time when a Jew was first doing, during this time, a Gentile could be saved. A Gentile could belong to the Church of God if, the big word, two-letter word, if, the Gentiles kept or remembered four things. Acts 15:20, the Gentiles abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. By keeping and remembering these things, these four rules are for Gentiles. These four rules or four guidelines, the Gentiles could become spiritual children. A faithful Abraham. And they could partake or share in the promises of Abraham. Here we go. After the end of Acts. The Gentile believers who accepted, remember they got accepted Paul's post-prison message, learn that or find out that Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:14, Christ, who is our peace, who has made us the Gentile and the Jews, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished hostility and hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, and made in himself the two, Jew and Gentile, into one man, one new man. He reconciled the Jew and Gentile to God in one body. The Gentile and Jew are all equal footing. A new revelation which we find that Israel has now been set aside as a chosen people, and that God, in grace, began deals with all the nations, including Israel. And the middle wall partition is broken down. The Jew and the Gentile are reconciled or prepared to accept each other by the one new man. And especially since ordinances are no longer required, before the end of Acts, the gospel message was always made known to the Jew first. And in Romans 1:16, which was written before the end of Acts, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now notice the word order. Now just notice here. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek or Gentile. Paul preached the facts of the cross message to the new Jews, but not to the far off Gentiles. But 48. After the end of Acts, the Gentile believers who accepted Paul's post-prison message and learn or find out that in Ephesians 2:17 says, "And Paul came and preached peace to the Gentiles," but who's labeled first here, which was far off, and to them, to the Jews, who's listed second, that were near. Notice the word order. The word Gentile was first, and the Jew was second. Notice that Paul mentions first that the Gentiles had peace preached to them, and second, then to the Jews. Notice a word order that gives no priority to the Jews. Now the Gentiles have first consideration since the end of Acts. Let's go to fact number 7. Again, here we go with the word before the end of Acts. The hope of the Gentile believers and hope of Israel believers, and the hope as members of the Church of God, was to be caught up either after death or while they were alive into the air to meet and to come back with the Lord when he comes to set up his kingdom here on earth. Where'd they get that idea? They got it from 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 17, or chapter 4, verses 17, which was written before the end of Acts. Then it reads that we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, often referred to as the rapture. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So before the end of Acts, the believing Jews and the grafted in Gentiles expected to meet the Lord in the clouds at resurrection and to come back and take possession of the land that had been promised to their Jewish fathers. The word meet here in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 is Strong's 52:529. This word is used for the official welcome of a newly arrived. Now keep in mind that the rapture is for earth dwellers. The manifestation is for earth dwellers. The manifestation is for heaven dwellers. The rapture is for earth dwellers. In the rapture, the believers are caught up in the air, not caught up in heaven. Remember that the Jews and the grafted in Gentiles had the Ten Commandments. This is what they had. They had the Ten Commandments, the various and miscellaneous laws, and the ordinances, and they had circumcision. There was nothing in the Old Testament about anyone going to heaven, the heavenlies, the super heaven, the Holy of Holies, or far above all, before death or after death. After the end of Acts, for the Gentile believers who accepted Paul's post-prison message, learn that or find out that the Gentile citizenship is located in the heavenlies. From that place, after this resurrection, they will await for the manifestation of the Lord. Colossians 3:4, for in Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Not in the air, we are to appear with him in glory. Our conversation with him is in heaven. It tells in Philippians 3:20, from which we also look the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Fact number 8. Before the end of Acts, the Gentile believers took part in the Word of God, which was sent to Israel in Acts 10. After the end of Acts, the Gentile believers who accepted, there's that word again, Paul's post-prison message, learn or find out that the dispensation of the mystery was sent especially to the Gentiles through Paul. In fact, Ephesians 3:1-2 reads, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, you being the Gentiles, before the end of Acts 59, there we got fact number 9. Before the end of Acts, the Gentile believers took part in a calling which dated from or since the founding of the world. Matthew 25:34 tells us, then shall the king say unto them on this right hand, come, ye blessed, O my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from or since the foundation of the world. Then, after the end of Acts, the Gentile believers are accepted Paul's post-prison message and learn or find out that they had a calling which dates back before the foundation of the world. Not from or since the world, but the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Act 10. Before the end of Acts, the Gentile believers were blessed only if Israel was blessed. How did that even happen? In Romans 10, 18 and 19, it says, but I say, have they, Israel, not heard? Yes, verily, they sound has gone out unto the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know, or did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them, the Gentiles that are my people. Nation, I will move you, the Jews, to anger. After the end of Acts, the believing Gentiles who accepted Paul's new message were people already chosen from before the foundation of the world. They were predestinated by and also accepted by the love. Second here, I got my slides going wrong. There it is. They were predestined to be children also and accepted in the beloved. In Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. According as chose him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to him himself. Predestined is also in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own. When you come to the words predestined or predestination, keep in mind of the six times that these words predestined or predestination is used, it is never used once for the unbeliever. The predestination is to do only for believers. All who are in Christ or are predestined to be made alive. 72. There is no such thing in God's word as being predestined to or be predestined to life or predestined to death. Predestination comes into play only when it's concerning the body of Christ. That is all for today, and I thank you for listening. Thank you for following, and we'll finish with this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words and for the message for today, and we ask that you give each one of us spiritual eyes and ears, a spiritual heart and a mouth to openly, willingly share with others the truth of what actually was taking place since the end of Acts. Amen. Thank you.